Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Hello and welcome to episode 42 of From Long Distance to Marriage. And this week we're going to be talking all about gratitude in your relationship. Before we do that, a little bit of housekeeping. We are working, as you may have seen on our Instagram feed, we're working on some exclusive content for how to build a really incredible long-distance relationship and get the most out of it. So we're at the stage now where we're soon to release it, but we're looking for people who can be early readers and give us some feedback and help shape the final version. So if you want to be one of those early readers, send us a message, send us an email, let us know, and we'll put you on our list.
We're also back in the studio today, which is very exciting. Again, if you follow us on Instagram, you will know that we've done lots of housework lately. New bathroom, new floors, redecorated spare bedroom. And we finally just got the last random shit that you shove into a room when you're having stuff done out of the studio. So we're back recording in here, so we're really excited.
And if you don't follow us on Instagram, we're Mr. and Mrs. Distance on there. Come and, as I said, drop us a message, see our pictures, and become an early reader.
Yes, do that indeed. We've had a really lazy morning watching Peaky Blinders. We're pretty excited for the new season coming up.
Yes.
So we're rewatching all the amazing violence and gin and Alfie Solomons. Anyways, so yeah, this is something we want to talk about this week. You know, having gratitude in your relationship and showing gratitude towards your partner, because I think you see a lot of kind of, you know, memes on Facebook and stuff. And this one in particular is one that stuck with me. I mean, we don't have children, but you see things like, oh, a woman will say to her friend, like, oh, it's so amazing that your husband's watching the kids today. And it's like, yes, thank you. He is fathering today. He's fathering his children. And I think that there's kind of a mixed attitude towards, you know, your partner should absolutely support you, and there's certain things that they should do without having to be asked. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be grateful towards them for doing that. And I think expressing gratitude in your relationship is really key in just keeping the appreciation and, you know, hey, I know you chose to be here with me, and I know you do a lot for me, and I just want to acknowledge that and thank it. I think that, you know, everyone should be thanked for the things that they do. And in your relationship, you do a hell of a lot. So it's just kind of a topic we wanted to cover. And it's something that I think we've talked about this in previous episodes. We thank each other for like everything, things that maybe people would think, oh, you shouldn't have to thank your partner for that. But we do. Like, for example, I tend to do the majority of the, you know, cleaning up the kitchen and the dishwasher and stuff. But when Rich does it and I get home from maybe a long day of work and he's done it, I thank him. I'm really grateful that he's done it. It's one less thing for me to think about.
Yeah. And when you cook dinner, I always thank you.
Yeah, I do that every night.
And I thank you every night for it. And it kind of comes back to taking things for granted that we've talked about. I can't speak today.
You still feel stupid from waking up. I said to him this morning, we've been up late the past couple nights. And so I've been having a bit of a sleep in the morning. And I was like, oh, do you ever just, like, sleep so good and you sleep so hard that your body actually hurts from just, like, being still for so long? And he goes, no, but I know what it's like to wake up stupid. And I was like, are you telling me I'm being stupid? He's like, no, I felt stupid when I woke up.
Yeah, my brain hadn't kicked in. But, yeah, so when you take things for granted and just, like, you know, you just expect it to be done. That's just what they do. And the gratitude's really just sort of remembering on your part that they don't have to do that. They're choosing to do that, and by virtue of them doing it, it's making your life that little bit easier, and it's a gesture from them that, you know, you matter. But the gratitude also shows them that you acknowledge it and you notice it. And it's funny how just the little gesture of saying thank you and the acknowledgement of it can stop the person who, so taking your example of you cook dinner almost every day, like, if I was to never say thank you to it, that's something you could very quickly start to resent. Like, oh, I'm doing this, doesn't even acknowledge it. Whereas knowing that it's appreciated and gratefully received, if you like I think it makes a big difference in the dynamic of the relationship, because then it's something that you still choose to do, and you're probably more likely to be happy to do it because the environment around it's all very positive and pleasant, and there's respect coming from both ways.
I also think I want to touch on the thing I said earlier about like parents and like, oh, the father's actually spending time with his kids or whatever. I want to acknowledge that I also think that dads should be thanking mums for the thing, or mums for what they do. You know, I think there is, you know, obviously we don't understand this necessarily. We're parents, but we see a lot of it. We have a lot of friends who are parents. We hear a lot about it. You know, man comes home from work, wife's been with the kids all day, and it's very much like, oh, how was your day? Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what the kids got up to. And then it's, oh, well, you wouldn't believe what I had to deal with at work. You know, I think that conversation can very easily be changed from the man saying, wow, you know, that sounds like they were full on. I'm so thankful that you spend, you know, your days raising our children. You know, that can just end that conversation. And then the wife, well, I'm so thankful that you can provide for us and so that I can be home with the kids. And at least part of the time, maybe you got to work some, you know, whatever. But that's what I mean. I'm not saying that women should be thankful to their husband that they deign to, you know, take their kids to the park so the woman can go get a manicure. I think it goes both ways. You know, I think traditions are changing. A lot of times the men are staying at home with the kids now and women are off working. You have same-sex couples. So, you know, throw out the terminology either way, but whoever is kind of spending the most time with the kids deserves thanks. And so does the one who is working too much to do that, but then steps in when they can to take that pressure off. But, you know, I think there's all sorts of things that you can be grateful to your spouse or partner, whatever, for. And I think expressing that can only be positive in the relationship. And I think how many people describe their job as being thankless or just life as being thankless.
But I think it's, and I know we've spoken about this before too, but like, especially with married couples more so than boyfriends and girlfriends, I think, and you know, less so for long distance couples, I'm sure, but there's almost, it's become funny in our society now to mock your spouse and say, you know, well, like you said, like, oh, yeah, isn't it great that he's parenting today? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think men in particular become a bit of a punching bag for being stupid and oafish and lazy and thoughtless, you know. And I think it's just something you always hear, like, neither one of them's good enough, and my wife's driving me crazy. You know, you don't tell your wife the truth. And equally, you know, women, oh, don't tell him how much it really costs. You know, there's just all these sort of subtle messages around marriage. And don't get me wrong, some of them are funny, but they don't really seem to have much balance with more positive messaging. And you know, like anything, you can just kind of quickly absorb that. And,
you know, that's really interesting. And actually, you know, I think men are at a very difficult time right now. There are so many men who are, you know, in the spotlight having done bad things. You know, sexual assault, the Me Too movement, and these are all very big problems and change needs to happen. It seems to be happening, probably not at the rate it needs to, but the conversations are out there, women are speaking up, and that's great. It's needed, you know, it's absolutely vital. But I also think the women who know they have a good man, I don't know, like, I feel like men need some good PR. There are, it's a few terrible, terrible men that are ruining, you know, women's views on men in general. Do you know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. I think I feel a responsibility when, you know, people are joking about marriage and stuff to speak up. And yeah, I can appreciate the joke and that, but I also, oh, you know, no, my husband's great. I'm lucky to have him. Like, I don't know if I talked about this in the podcast. I know I put a picture up, several weeks ago. Rich just out of the blue for no kind of real reason in terms of like birthday or anniversary or Valentine's Day, had a really beautiful bouquet of flowers sent to my work, and it was completely unexpected, and one of the girls answered the door and dropped them on my desk, and I was like, oh, and so then all the girls thought, oh, that's lovely, that's really sweet, and all the guys, well, what's he done, what's he gonna do, he's gonna ask you for something, or he's done something, and yeah, it's fun, it's playful, but at the same time, it's kind of sad that even the men were the ones with the narrative around that. It wasn't the woman, like, oh, what's he done? You know, da, da, da. So that, I mean, I saw that really interesting. And again, I know it was a joke, but they kept on about it.
Yeah, and it's just something that you hear is, it's almost like marriage is supposed to have attrition and like...
What's attrition?
Like, this sort of negative friction and, like, kind of like a war.
Like Rules of Engagement.
Yeah, kind of. And, yeah, when it's within the confines like a comedy show, like, don't get me wrong, like, I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
But...
You take it for what it is, though.
Yeah, but when... kind of just look out for it in real life, and it's very common, and you get a group of girls together, they're bitching about the men, and you get a group of men together, they're bitching about the women, and almost like there's an invader in the house, rather than, oh, actually, there's someone I invited to live with me who does a lot for me and makes me feel good and cherish me. You know, that's not often what you hear, and for men, there's always that sort of get out of, oh, you know, men don't talk to their guy friends like that, and maybe that's true, but yeah, it's just sort of, it's worth looking out for and consciously not being that couple.
Mm. Yeah, and I think you know, it means a lot to me. You know, I'm probably no more capable in the kitchen than Rich, but for whatever reason, you know, the cooking has fallen to me for the most part. I think I am a bit better of a planner and things like that. So that's probably why, you know, it's naturally kind of fell to me. Well, actually, no, I know why. Because when I first moved over here, I was the only one not working. So I just kind of said, okay, well, I'll do the cooking. And it just kind of stayed. But yeah, you know, like Rich said, if he didn't thank me every day, you know, I'd probably start to... Yeah, I would feel... I mean, I get bored of cooking anyway. It's like, oh God, what am I going to make tonight? The same 5-6 things we have, blah, 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 blah. But there's that. On top of it, this guy can never be made to feel full. So combining the fact that every time he finishes dinner, like 5 out of 7 days, he goes, I'm hungry. So if he didn't thank me before that and said I'm still hungry, I'd be really fucked off and annoyed. But I think, I don't know, your partner's a human. You know, they're, you know, we've always said, you know, you're still a person outside of your relationship. And you put effort in and you do things. And it's nice to be acknowledged for that, because so many other areas in life, you aren't. You know, we go to jobs every day and yeah, we're paid to be there, but we don't get thanked for it. And sometimes it's just nice to get some recognition for something. So, you know, like if you do a really good job at work and your boss says, hey, you know, nice work, thank you for that, you feel good. And it's nice to have that same recognition at home from, like you said, just another average night dinner, or if it's extra good, hey, I really enjoyed that, you know, whatever it is, there's...
And to me, the gratitude goes beyond...
what you're thanking them
gratitude.
For.
Gratitude. Well, it's also not being critical of them. So, like, you know, when it's the two of you, and you will have those moments where you're critical. But again, going back to sort of more social situations, not being the person who is just criticising your partner, I think is important. And not to put them on like a pedestal, but, and it's, you know, it's one thing to maybe have a little, especially depending on your company, and they know them and they know you're joking and it's good humour, but there's a big difference in making a one-off little joke, you know, to kind of humiliating them or airing your dirty laundry about them, or you'll never guess what they did.
Or those couples that always fight in front of people.
Yeah. You know, or being out like, oh, you know, he's so lazy, and well, she's so bitchy. And I think it's really important to show camaraderie and that you're a united couple. I think that's really important. And, you know, if you do have issues, they're your issues. They're to be worked out between you. And if you need a confidant, then fine, you know, get what you need. But again, there's mature ways of handling it, and I think going out and just unloading everything onto your friends and is not the right outlet.
No, and sometimes you need advice, though. Like,
yeah, if you need a compliment.
You know, we've talked about before, you know, when I first moved here, and it was really a strain on us as we, you know, we were both on our own for the first time together and trying to navigate marriage when I just had a huge change, you know, in immigrating. And we'd have all the normal fights you would expect with that, and probably a little bit more, because it was just, you know, a time of real big transition. Yeah, I called home too much and probably vented. It wasn't I hate him so much. It's like, I just don't know how to make this.
Yeah, you needed advice because you'd gone through a big life change, and that's slightly different.
But you still have to frame it in the right way, because you were very conscious. Like, look, I get you need to talk to people, but I'm just concerned. Like, I guess Rich's concern was, you know, obviously your family knows that you're going to struggle, but I also don't want them thinking like badly of me, like, oh, she's gone off to live with him. And yeah, we're going through all these normal fights, but he wasn't being an asshole. It was just growing pains for us as a couple. And so, you know, I've always been really careful to really preface anything, you know, if I'm complaining, like, I want to protect his reputation. I wouldn't be with him if I didn't think that he was more than worth the little squabbles that we very rarely have now.
I think that Noah's on the hits the nail on the head, you know, that it's all protecting the reputation, because for a lot of people, you are the sort of gatekeeper to perceptions of your partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially around your friends who are closer with you than your partner. So the things you say influence their decision, and if you're telling them they're useless and this and that, then that's what they'll take. And it also is going to reflect badly on you, because you're thinking, everyone's going to think, well, why did you choose this person that's so bad and you're not happy with them?
Yeah.
But you want people, well, I would want people to think good of you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, you may make a little joke, and oh, you know, because she said this, you know, that's
or, you know, like, I remember a friend at work, she was talking about a huge argument she'd had with her husband. And, you know, I know he's a really good guy. She talks about how happy they are. And so, you know, you and I were having a squabble that week, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with us either. You know, we normally get along so well. I always, and it's not that I'm like backstepping? What's that? What's that frame? What's that term where you're like trying to say something positive because you're going to say something negative? I can't think of what it's called. Is it back? It's got the word back in it.
I don't know.
Anyways, I'm not just doing it because I'm afraid to say or be honest or anything, but I want to frame that. Like, he's great, but I don't know what's going on right now. Do you know what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you just don't want to be smearing shit all over their reputation.
Because, I mean, it just kind of confuses me, because presumably you enter this long-term relationship / marriage, and equally long distance. You enter into it because you like this person and they do bring some positivity to your life. So I just don't understand the psychology of spreading information publicly that they're useless and pointless and can't do anything and generally bad for you, or using them as the butt of your jokes. Like, I just don't understand the mentality of why you'd want to do that.
No.
And how does it make them feel? And then in turn, if you're making them feel bad and they're then feeling self-conscious or they're feeling unhappy, that's going to come back to you through their negative emotions.
Well, and it's also, it's putting yourself in a bad light too. Like, okay, so you've chosen this person. That's one, you know, well, okay, you get what you ask for. Also too, you just have to be like someone who airs their dirty laundry everywhere or, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously if there's a real problem in your relationship, you know, abuse or whether that's mental, verbal, physical, yeah, you need to find a way to be heard and get help or whatever that is. But I think if it's just the day-to-day squabbles and annoyances and frustrations that come from being in a committed long-term relationship, you need to kind of, first of all, keep it in perspective, and second of all, like, be a bit tasteful about that. And I think regularly practicing the act of showing gratitude in your relationship will eventually remove the kind of reflex that makes you want to do those kinds of things, air those kind of things. And I think, you know, the amount of stuff on social media, you know, on the positive side of stuff, that's, you know, there's these things, you know, you can rewire your brain in 21 days by listing 3 things you're thankful for every day, or the movement of keeping a list of things you're grateful for. You know, people are really trying, I think, to keep a positive mindset and this whole I'm blessed, I'm grateful attitude. You know, I think doing that genuinely does give you a more positive outlook on life, and I think doing it in your relationship has that same effect.
Yeah. So as far as things to say thank you for, because I think a lot of times this is often reserved for what we perceive as the bigger things. Like, oh, you know, you'll say thank you for your birthday presents, your Christmas presents. You might say thank you if they've surprised you, like, oh, you washed my car out of the blue, thanks for doing that. But I think where people forget is the more mundane things. And actually, in a lot of ways, those are the things that require it more, because
they go unnoticed so much.
But, like, of course they're going to buy you something at birthday and Christmas. Like, they'd be an arsehole if they didn't do that. Like, that, in a way, requires thanks less than... But, you know, when they do something every day, when it's monotonous and routine, and they don't want to do it because they've done it so much, you know, and then you're there taking it for granted because, oh, well, they do that every day. That's the thing they need thanking for most, because, well, because of what I just said, you know, it's just like...
But because I say so.
You're coupling all that, them not wanting to do it, it's routine, it's mundane, and they're feeling, you know, it's a thankless task. And then you're coming through this attitude of, well, yeah, of course you're going to do that, I'm taking it for granted. Like, it's just compounding it. That's where it needs to be more obvious, like, you know what, I appreciate you doing that, thank you. And it's like, I'm trying to, what, we should give some examples of, oh, like cooking dinners, number one, you know, whoever's doing the washing and clothes. You know, if someone cleans the house, if someone's hoovering the floors regularly, or if, you know, if someone's doing the lion's share of something, like domestic chores, walking the dogs, cutting the grass, if they cut you, wash your car.
I think quite recently an example is, like, you know, I mentioned we've just had a lot of work done to the house, and I think there was a few episodes ago we talked about having alone time from your partner, and there was that night that I was like, right, okay, I'm going to my friend's house. We're just getting on each other's nerves. I think we both could do with the night away from each other. And I just had a fun... It wasn't like, I'm going out, I'm leaving. It was just like, hey, I'm going to go have fun with my friend. You have a night to yourself. I think we could just both reset and recharge. Anyways, I knew that there was, you know, a list of things that Rich wanted to get done. There was like a pile of clippings in the garden from a bush we'd... Or several bushes we'd trimmed that, you know, the trash can for the, you know, garden waste was full.
This was the next day when I was out volunteering.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I came home from my friends first thing in the morning and Rich was off doing his volunteer mentoring stuff. And I knew like, hey, I want to have a nice day together. So we were going to go see a film and have lunch. But I was like, I know that you're going to feel antsy and not want to do that unless a few things that I know have been bothering you around the house have been done. And that was like, yeah, basically like cleaning up this pile of clippings in the yard. There were a few things in the house. And, you know, it wasn't my job. It was something we talked about doing together that day. But it was also supposed to be really hot that day. So I was like, you know what? I want to get it done early before it gets too hot. And I went home and I just blasted through that list. Then was getting ready to go take a shower and text Rich and said, hey, I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. Because I want us to be able to go out and have a nice day today and reconnect. We'd had that, you know, week of kind of griping at each other. And the first thing he said was, wow, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Yeah, I'll be home in a bit and I'll see you and we'll go out and have a nice day. And he didn't have to thank me. It's just as much my house as it is his. But equally, like I said, it wasn't just my job. You know, I think...
And part of it is you're not thanking them for doing the task. He said, like, if I was being an arsehole, I'm like, well, it's not just your house, it's mine. And that is true. But yeah. What I'm thanking you for is that it had registered with you that it was important to me and you knew I was going to do it. And so you thought, you were showing a gesture yourself. So exactly. That's what the thanks is for. The thanks isn't so much for the task as it's...
The thought behind it.
Yeah, you're thanking them for thinking... Like, basically, every time they do something like that, they're showing you that you're in their mind.
Yeah.
You know? And positively, and that they want to do something that is meaningful for you. And, like, I think maybe that's something people lose sight of. So if you're there thinking, well, why am I going to thank them for that? Like, they're having dinner, why not make mine too? Like, the point is... You're not thanking them necessarily for what they've done, but for why they've done it.
Yeah, and just, yeah, putting your wants or needs or desires or whatever before theirs. Yeah, it was. I just had a night at a friend's. I was a little bit, like, not hungover, but, like, you know when you have a fair few drinks and you're really dehydrated, like a mini hangover, and I didn't want to go out and do that, but, you know, I knew that it was on his mind and it was annoying him that it hadn't been done. And I thought, yeah, okay, well, I'll do that. I'm more than capable. I've got two hands. I can do all that. And yeah, it really made a difference. And it was a few things that he'd commented, like, I really wish you'd help with this a little bit more. It would really make life a bit easier on me. And I acknowledged kind of my shortcomings in that area. And I think it all goes into that, especially if it's something that someone's been asking you to do. For example, I mentioned how, like, our study or studio has been out of order because, you know, we kind of used it as overflow storage while we were having to shuffle different bedrooms and in that around while we were having work done at the house. And it was just, you know, it's the room that we don't need every day. So it was the last one to kind of get cleared out.
Well, the door is always shut as well, so the dogs don't come.
Yeah. But like, so in, like, there was a few things left in there. I had got the majority of the stuff that was like from the bedrooms out when we kind of rearranged the rooms. But there was like some paperwork, a few like guitar bits, you know, some stuff. And it was all Rich's. I didn't know where he kept that paperwork. I didn't, you know, I kind of had gotten all my stuff out and it had been about 2 or 3 weeks. And I didn't do it because he was lazy. We've just been busy. And I'd said probably 2 or 3 times, like, look.
Yeah, I didn't not do it because I'm lazy.
Yeah, what did I say?
I didn't do it because I'm lazy.
Yeah, whatever. You didn't do it because you're lazy. Yeah, it wasn't a matter of that. I just hadn't got around to. So I made sure that every time I asked him, it was quite positive. Like, hey, you know, can we get in there and do that? Like, I'm happy to help. Hey, you know, we still haven't done that. And, it, you know, it's getting me down. I want to be able to get back in there. And then, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday morning, we'd done a few kind of, you know, reading and kind of personal development bits, and they were going to get ready to kind of spend the afternoon together, and I went up to take a shower, and as I was coming down to like get something out of the dryer, he was carrying a pile of paperwork that was from the study. I said, oh my god, are you doing the study? And he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. And I was just like, thank you. I was going to say we should get in there this afternoon. It was just like, I didn't have to thank him. It was his shit in here. He needed to move it. I'd been asking him to, but what's the harm of saying thank you for doing something that adds joy, because I can get back in here and be creative in this space. Like I think people almost begrudge thanking people. Like, are you, is it a pride thing? Like, I don't really understand. Like, I really think there's no place for pride in relationships in terms of, like, obviously being proud of your spouse and stuff, but, like, that internal ego pride. There's no room for that. And in a good relationship that's healthy,
mm-hmm.
I think it's damaging. Obviously being house proud together, being proud of your partner's achievements.
But pride that can sort of create friction.
Yeah, that pride that's like, oh, I'm too proud to do that, or...
It's like arrogance.
Yeah, like Pride and Prejudice pride.
I've not read that.
Well, people that are literature lovers may well do, or have seen the film. But yeah, there's no room for that, and I don't think that you should let, like Rich said a few minutes ago, like, well, why should I thank him? Well, you know, it's my dinner too. Or why should I, you know, whatever. Yeah, what harm does it do? It's just a word. Thank you.
And then sometimes you can think, two, like, words. Like, yeah, what harm does it do? But also, what good does it do?
Mm.
If you're, like, how is that going to come back to you? If you're making them feel good and, like, oh, they noticed that I do this thing. Like, you're more likely to get laid.
I think, you know? Also...
Or you're going to just have a more harmonious environment that way. So don't, even if you think, well, why am I doing it? Don't be a dick about it. Just say thank you.
I also think that one of the most common, I don't want to say smaller problems in a relationship, but certainly smaller than, you know, cheating, drinking, like the really big, you know, abuse, the really big, you know, red flag, you need to get out of this relationship problems, but the kind of common problems that people can deal with. One of the biggest complaints, I think, is you don't appreciate me. Don't you think? Like that's, you know, he doesn't appreciate me. She doesn't appreciate how hard I work. You know, he doesn't appreciate how well I take care of the kids or keep the house or that I work too on top of all of that. You know, I think that's a big complaint in a lot of marriages and a big concern for a lot of couples. So the first step is saying thank you. Now, saying thank you alone is not always enough. You have to show you're thankful too. And I think that is when you start doing things for them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Thank you can be very, you know, that those can be two very empty words. Yeah, thank you, but this dinner isn't what I asked for. Or thank you for cleaning that room, but you missed a spot over there in the corner with the Hoover. Okay, that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about appreciating that they've taken the time to make your house look better or do a special favor for you or whatever that is, and then pay it back. Or maybe not pay it back with an actual action, like, oh, he vacuumed, so I'm going to, you know, clean his car or whatever, or I'm going to fill up the tank, you know, with gas or petrol or whatever. It's more, okay, well, you know, I can be gracious back and that and find ways to do it. And I think it's just a positive chain, like that pay it forward kind of action.
That got me thinking, we've had at least one person who's given us feedback from here that they said, they listen to us with their partner separately and they take notes and they talk about the episode, which mm-hmm. is brilliant. And hopefully other people do that. But it'd be good if from what we've just said, the takeaway from this is go and think, okay, think of one good thing you can do. So, like, if you cook dinner for every day, that's not going to count. You can do dinner. But think of one thing that would really stand out as a good gesture from the, for them.
Like when you stopped at Starbucks on the way home from work and got me a pumpkin spice latte one time.
Yeah, yeah, because it's seasonal, yeah. Or when I sent you the flowers to your office. Like, just think of one thing that really stands out as they will notice it. And do it, and do it without expectation of return. But just do it and treat it like an experiment of how do they respond to that. And then, you know, equally, if maybe your partner's listening to this as well, if you get something good, you know, if they do something good for you, really think about how you respond to that. So you could just say, thank you, that really means a lot, and be verbal. But like you just said, you could respond with an action of your own. And it's the kind of thing that it could really be the catalyst for this sort of spiral of you bouncing positive things off each other. You know, you did that because you did that for me, and then, oh, well, I'm going to respond with this nice thing for you too. And, you know, that could really be something that you start to bring more of into relationships. So I want that to be the takeaway for this episode.
Yeah,
go, like, and do something nice, and then if you get something nice, respond as well as you can.
But it also shows that you're listening to your partner. And I think back on things that they've said recently, like, oh, I really want to try and get this done, or I can't seem to get to this, or I've been trying to find this. Like, for example,
yeah, it doesn't have to be that you buy them something.
Well, for my, this example is, so, like, you...
Yeah, but you gave the example before that you knew I wanted stuff done in the garden, yeah, or the house, and you did it, and it showed you'd listen to me. And in a way, that's more thoughtful than, I bought you this.
Well, no, but if it's something that they've been trying to figure out, like, for example, we're really obsessed with coffee, and Rich doesn't like the coffee machine at his work. So, for a while, he was stopping at Starbucks in the morning. That really wasn't cost-effective.
All very nice.
Yeah, and we had, like, a... You'd tried buying a few different travel mugs and, like, ones that we had in the house, and none of them were keeping it hot enough. And so I happened to be going to, like, TJ Maxx, TK Maxx, whatever country you live in. And I was getting a few bits that I wanted to get, and I went and looked at the travel mugs and thought, okay, this one looks really good. Get it for him. Came home, gave it to him. And it was, like, it cost, like, I don't know, £8. But you were so... Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like,
well, it meant a lot. Because, yeah, because there's a thought behind it.
Yeah, talk about why it meant so much and people can understand.
Well, you've just said, like, I was getting frustrated that I couldn't have my coffee. Like, I was taking coffee in from home and it was cold by the time I got it there and poured it. And I'd said, sure, I need to buy one. And then you did it. So it showed, one, you'd been listening and paying attention.
And I also appreciate the importance of coffee.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you were out and you saw it and you obviously thought again. So the what was so meaningful about it to me was that it just showed that was something you really had been paying attention, you really thought that would be something I'd like. You hadn't just wandered around the shop and thought, oh, I think you'd like that, which in its own right would still be nice.
Yeah.
But it is more impactful when it's something
that shows you've been listening.
And it also just goes to show, it's not about the cost, it's not about what it is, it's about what it means. And I didn't tell him, say, what, you spent £8 on me and I was supposed to be happy. It's like, oh, you really listened and you tried to fix a problem of mine. And, you know, that's a big deal.
And, you know, it wasn't a big problem, but, you know, people's morning routines are very important. And particularly Rich, I think I've mentioned before, is, you know, not someone who's inclined to be particularly bright and shiny in the mornings. He's a bit of a grump in the mornings. And
It depends. If I'm up on my own terms.
Yeah, during the week.
You're... And if I get my... Yeah, in the week, yeah.
It's not very nice. And you also notice, like, he sometimes sets an alarm and doesn't get up, whatever. I'm the one that's more reliable at getting up in the morning. I'll go in there and wake him up and be like, hey, babe, wake up. It's 6:50 or whatever. Doesn't even look at me. Looks straight at the clock. Like, I'm lying to you. I've noticed this. You just turn around and look directly at the clock. Well, and you look at it for a really long time because your eyes are sleepy. But, well, it's like, what? You don't believe
because
me.
Because when you're tired, you think, that can't be right. And then...
doesn't even say, hey, babe, morning.
But it's just also, directly also, at the clock. I'm very particular about the minutes on the clock. So I remember people... I'm sure people listening, this will resonate. If you wake up at, like, 6:16... I've got to wait till 20. And you can't get up on you can't get up between the fives. So same thing. If you say, oh, it's 10:02, and it's actually like 6:48, I'm like, fuck, I've got 2 more minutes. What are you waking up for? Like, you know. So
yeah, I'm grateful, bastard.
The clock's very important.
Anyways, I can't remember.
I know people listening will get that. They'll be like, yeah, you can't get up at 16. You have to wait till 20. Can't get up at 11.
That's dumb. Gotta
wait till 4:15. It's not dumb.
Anyways. I know that it's an important part to his morning, and having nice, fresh, hot coffee when he gets to work is going to make his day feel a bit better and nicer. And if I can, you know, play a part in making that nicer for him by spending £8, then that's great. And, you know, and I hope that some mornings when you, you know, take the mug off the shelf and you open it up and pour the coffee that you think of me. Do you?
No.
Aww.
Well, because I don't even pour it. I drink it straight from the mug. It keeps it
warm. No, I mean, when you're pouring it before you get ready to go to work, before you're leaving for work.
Oh, no. I'm just thinking I've got to get out the door. I did for a while. I remember I texted you after a few days and I said, oh, it really means a lot. But it's been a little while now, so taking it for granted now.
I think you should listen to this episode. After we're done, I'm just sitting here staring at him with a blank look.
I've done my thinking. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just all you gotta do is say it once. You don't have to live the gratitude.
I think I said it a few times.
No, you probably did.
Definitely did.
I'm just embarrassed that I've said, hopefully he thinks of me and you don't, and now I sound really needy.
Well, because it's been a little while.
It has been a good few months.
But
yeah, I think it's just, you know, think back on why you got together. You know, you got together because you brought each other joy, you wanted to build something together, and you appreciated each other, and sex was lovely, and all these things. And as life goes on, and, you know, your relationship matures for a few years, I think I've said it before that, you know, when you share a home together, whether you're married or not, your relationship can start to feel a little bit like a business. You know, it's, you know, paying bills and running the household together. It is like running a little business. You don't make any money for it, but, you know, you live your life. And it seems like throwing in some gratitude just makes it feel a bit less that way. It just makes it all feel so much more personal. And I think, you know, your job as a spouse or partner is to add value to someone's life, brighten their day. You know, Rich always talks about how, you know, what a privilege it is that someone's chosen to spend their life with you. What can you do to make them feel...
They've made the right choice.
No, like, less burdened or appreciated again. You know, appreciation's a big one.
I think, yeah, that's an important thing too, right? So, yeah, recognize the privilege that it is. You know, it is your privilege that they want that. But also, this might sound a little weird, think about how you're a burden in some ways. You know, like, you're another person that they've got to think about. And it's not a negative thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say burden, but...
I think I'm saying burden because I want people to think, like, the impact of that. Like, yes, like, you're winning. You're in there through mutual choice, hopefully. And they wouldn't change you for the world. But you still have demands on them that wouldn't be there if they didn't have you around. That's also true that obviously you bring positivity and things that are good that wouldn't be there if you weren't around. But I'm just talking about the other side of it for now. That when you frame it in that way and you think like, oh yeah, what am I putting on them that wouldn't be there if it wasn't for me? I think that can just sort of make you think, I'll do something nice today. You know, when you say to me, you got to take the bin out, I'm like, if you weren't here, I wouldn't have to take the bin out.
You probably would.
I would eventually. But at that moment, I'd be thinking about something else. So it's not, I don't mean anything like negative, like you are in your totality a burden, but it's just like the little things that...
I don't like that burden. I think it's more like things you have to consider. That's a better way to say it. There's more to consider.
Or do, but the point is when you just think, if you think, what are the things I'm putting on them that they wouldn't have to do without me? And then I'll do something nice. Make sense?
Yeah, I just don't like you saying the word burden.
Burden?
Is that what you think of me?
Oh yeah, you're a massive burden.
I'll give you a titty twister in a minute. Yeah, he's doing a big stretch with his arms behind his head. No.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. They're covered.
You're my nipples.
My nipples are under a t-shirt.
Doesn't mean I can still do it.
He's
protecting himself.
Okay, so
I'm not a burden.
It's not about the person being a burden in their totality.
I don't like it.
It's about
I don't like it.
Not everything that comes into a relationship is good and a benefit.
No, it works.
Or is something that needs to be done, but it's still like, oh, I'd rather.
It's like when we were like starting to talk about marriage, and you were like, I know I want to marry you. There's no one else I want to be with. I just don't know if I'm ready to settle down yet. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You live with your mom. You're miserable living there. Like, I'm only going to make your life better. And it was true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I had to beg him to marry me or anything.
No.
Because I'm such a fucking burden. Yeah, I show you burden.
You are a burden.
Nutsack.
I think we can wrap it up.
I'm mad at you now.
You're not mad at me now. We don't get mad at each other.
Yes, we do.
Have you got any admin to do?
No, we did it at the beginning.
Yeah, so if you want to, I'm going to say it again, if you want to be our beta reader, so you can read this wonderful exclusive content that we've got and give us feedback.
You sound like you don't mean it, this wonderful content.
It's brilliant.
No, I know, but you sounded like you were mocking it.
Well, I don't want to be arrogant.
But don't mock it either.
It's incredible. No,
God, you're such a burden.
We've worked really hard on it. We think it's going to be really good. And the idea of it is to be like, I'd say it's a lot of our experience and tips from when we were long distance. And it's just about
knowledge, our wisdom.
But it's focused on long distance. So obviously the podcast covers relationships in general. This particular piece of content is specifically long distance. So if that's you, we really hope and think it will be useful in some capacity. So if you want to be an early reader, tell us what's good, what's bad, and help us make the final tweaks before it goes to general public.
Do you think that there's any bits in there that could be useful for non-distance couples?
I mean, there may be some tidbits, like you just said, we talked about privilege and stuff like that's in there. But I think the actual tips and advice we give is tailored to long distance. So yeah, if you were to read it and you're not in one, yeah, maybe there would be one some or two value. Things you take away. Yeah. Like that'd be great. Some of the date ideas, for example, would work in close proximity too. But it was written with you long distance folk in mind. Yes, so come and find us on Instagram, Mr. Mrs. Distance. Twitter is also Mr. Mrs. Distance. If you visit longdistancetomarriage.com, you can send us an email, whatever method. If you want to get a copy and read it, drop us a message, let us know. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already.
Yes, please. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a review.
Yeah, that really does help us beat the algorithm. And because we're getting more people find us through iTunes. So
yeah, I think iTunes has changed their like podcast categories.
Yeah, we're now in relationships.
Which didn't exist before.
Didn't exist, that's nice.
So I think it's probably a bit more relevant.
But if you could leave us a review, that'd be wonderful. Only if it's good. We don't want shit reviews. Send us an email and tell us it's shit.
Yeah, if you think we're shit.
Fuck off.
Don't be such a burden.
Yeah.
You're a burden to our podcast.
Yeah, I think that'll do. Tune in next week. I say tune in. Listen whenever you want. It's digital.
Yeah. See if I'm still talking about burdens next week, if I've got over it.
I won't be buried under the patio if you haven't forgiven me by next week.
No, our patio's brick. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I'm too lazy for that.
All right.
I'll just hound you and nag you until you...
And on that note...
Be nice to me. Bye!